Adam Stanley, Sportsnet contributor, joins us here on the line. Adam, nice to catch up again, sir. How are you?
Yeah, you know, I'm hanging in there, all things considered. Hope you guys are doing well.
We are. We're making the most of it out here. I want to get into this rogue league that's kind of up and running right now in Arizona. But first things first, why? Tell me this from your own opinion. Most golf courses are shut down right now, and you know, when you figure or factor in the amount of space that's out there on a golf course, why is golf still considered you know, kind of shut down in your opinion?
Yeah, it's a good question. Here in Ontario, the golf courses are still closed. I'm looking out my window, and we've got a couple of snowflakes falling down. So, you know, there's a reason for closures out here. But I think that they are just not sure how to truly handle the physical distancing of players who want to come in and play. And there's examples that have been set by other golf courses in states, certainly in the U.S., where golf is allowed right now. So you can kind of grow and evolve from that. But, you know, if there's two, three players who are out playing around, you know, how can you truly guarantee that they're going to stay, you know, 6 feet apart from one another, and they're not going to, you know, toss a ball at one another if somebody loses it in the water, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that there's just a lot more questions than answers right now for golf, but golf is probably the one sport that could come back prior to so many others because of just the landscape and the field of play is way bigger than any other.
Well, James, I got an email this weekend that my course is open. Westwood Plateau will open on Wednesday. You have to be single person in a cart unless you're from the same household. I don't know if there's going to be any flags in place. There was a list of rules. It kind of wasn't on my thought process to go, but honestly, and I don't know how crazy it will be there, but I think people are looking for an escape. So there are a few out here in Vancouver that are open. I have not talked to anybody. You know, Texas at 650, 650. If you have played some of the courses, I think Redwoods is open up in the Abbotsford area, you know, where Adam Hadwin and Nick Taylor have played their golf. Leadwoods is open there. So, yeah, it will be interesting. And Adam, we were shocked, and you wrote the story, like there's actually a tournament going down in Arizona. What's that all about?
Yeah, so the tour itself is ironically called the Outlaw Tour, but it has been called the Outlaw Tour for a couple of years now. This isn't just a new thing that just popped up this year and has popped up amongst the coronavirus and these guys are quote-unquote outlaws. No, this is what it's been called. So this professional golf tour is a mini tour. It's not affiliated with the PGA Tour in any way, shape, or form. The guys pay approximately $1,000 to enter themselves into these events. There's about 20 or 30. This past week, there was 50 guys who played in the event. The top 30% of the finishers end up splitting some of the prize pool. So they put in their own money. The winners get a big percentage of it, and off they go. So Arizona, you know, the governor hasn't shut down golf courses. He's still considering it an essential service. So as long as the government in the area is allowing people to continue to go play, they are going to do just that. A Canadian, Riley Wheeldon, who's from Comox out in BC, he actually leads the money list on this tour through the 10 or 12 events that they've had up to this point on the year. Jared Dutois, another Canadian from Kimberley, he just shot 59 in a tournament that happened about 3 weeks ago. So there is some Canadian connections to this tour. They are pressing ahead because they are allowed to do that. A lot of modified rules, some of which you guys mentioned a couple minutes ago as it related to, you know, there are actually no carts for these guys. There's a little pool noodle in the cup that makes the ball not fall all the way down to the cup, so you don't have to reach in along with your playing partners. There's no high fives. There's no signatures. There's none of that sort of stuff. So it's modified, but it's professional sports that's happening right now in North America.
Boy, what a perfect name for it too right now, isn't it? The Outlaw Tour?
Yeah, exactly. And that photo that was provided to me by the tour, you know, shows that one of the organizers wearing a bandana right there on the first tee. So it's a unique experience. You know, the guy,
Adam, that's actually a mask. They're just wearing it wrong.
Yeah, I think they're, you know, he's playing around with it and he's got his sunglasses on and he looks, I don't know, he looks pretty intimidating. But the two guys who I talked to, they're both from BC. And I think the crux of it is, you know, people can have their beliefs on, you know, why it should be going or why it shouldn't. But these guys, at the end of the day, they're business owners themselves. They're individuals who are trying to make a living, trying to make money. And this is their job. And they're allowed to go to their job and work and try to make some money. And as long as they're allowed to by the government in that state, then they're going to keep doing it.
Adam, we know very well in Vancouver the cost it takes to run a golf tournament, and the ACC didn't last all that long here because it just came to the point where prize money was so big that they couldn't afford to keep it here. In light of what we're dealing with right now, do you think in 2021, when everything is back to what will be our new normal, that some tour stops on the PGA and the LPGA will no longer be because of this?
Yeah, I think I do. I mean, you look at, you know, the tournaments that have been canceled already this year, and sure, you've got cost savings on not having to build things and, you know, bring in concessions and all that sort of stuff, but you've also lost out on a ton of revenue. I mean, the RBC Canadian Open, I think they were in the $1 million mark last year in terms of revenue. So, you know, the RBCs of the world, for example, I mean, that's a big bank in this country. They're probably going to stay in their lane and continue to do what they've been doing. But some of these smaller companies, maybe some of these more regional companies, and certainly companies, you know, on the LPGA Tour side of things, where the TV rights and the lucrative nature of hosting an LPGA event just isn't the same as the PGA Tour event. You know, when it looks to potentially not paying your employees or having this event go on, the companies are going to have to choose to pay their employees. So, you know, like most other sports, or unlike most other sports, I should say, you know, the sponsors are really driving the schedule forward on the PGA Tour and the LPGA Tour. And just with how many questions there are about, you know, people actually buying products and revenue streams and this, that, and the next thing. Unfortunately, I think a golf tournament, like a lot of other marketing initiatives for companies, are going to get looked at long and hard for next year. And I can foresee the schedules on both tours being a little bit more condensed.
Adam Stanley here with us on Sportsnet 650. This also marks this week, or yesterday was the 17th anniversary of Mike Weir winning the Masters at Augusta. And I think back to that moment, 2003. It was in the midst, for me, I was in Edmonton in the midst of covering an Oilers Stars series, one of about 30 of them around that period of time. But I just remember it was before puck drop, and there were TVs, you know, the Oilers had a TV on, and the Stars had one kind of set up outside the room as they were all kind of stretching at the old Rexall place. And just to see, you know, there was kind of this collection of like guys clapping and high-fiving and then getting back to their stretching. But it's sort of a where were you moment in Canadian sports history. How much did that win impact the sport here in this country? Or did it? Like, is it more the Tiger effect that we're feeling here? Or did Mike Weir help change the game here as well?
Yeah, I think I don't know how you could measure it financially in terms of you know, courses being built and equipment being sold and all that sort of stuff. But certainly when you look at the guys who are out playing on tour right now on the PGA Tour and the guys who are winning, Nick Taylor, Corey Connors, Adam Hadwin, even Graham Billet, David Hearn, you know, anyone who's on the PGA Tour right now and is Canadian, and any time that I've talked to them and any time that almost any media member, whether they be American or Canadian or European, they will point to Mike Weir's Masters win as a moment in their lives that proved that they, no matter where they were from or, you know, what their skill level was, that they could do it as well. They could get to the top of golf's mountain. So, you know, Tiger coming along at basically the same time as Mike Weir winning the Masters absolutely helped. But I think that Mike allowed people like Corey, for example, who's from a town whose population is 5,000 people, 6,000 people, I think. You know, in Ontario, you're looking at a guy who saw someone who's 5'10", 160 pounds from a town of 10,000 people in Nowheresville, Ontario, win the Masters. And that just meant that anyone could really do it. And here we are still 17 years later, kind of reaping the benefits of that. And I think in the next 10 to 15 years, you're going to see a big swath of women golfers who are inspired by Brooke Henderson to come out and do just that as well.
Mike Weir has always made Utah home, Adam. Do you think he enjoyed or embraced it like he wanted? I mean, he had so many people pulling at him, but it almost seemed to me he kind of was not one guy who wanted all the spotlight. Did it help because what he achieved? But I look at early Brooke Henderson and go, man, she has no problem doing as many things. Do you think Mike just naturally had the personality that would have lent himself to even doing more?
Yeah, I mean, I think now Mike has come out and showed a little bit more of his true personality. I mean, he's been doing a lot more on social media as he prepares for the Champions Tour. He turns 50 next month. So, you know, he's kind of out there and is just showing, hey, you know, I had my time. You know, I won the Masters and now I'm getting ready for the next phase of my career. And this is who I am. You know, he's given away some lefty clubs. He's doing some lessons for lefties. He's doing all these things that, you know, maybe back in 15 years ago, he was still trying to concentrate on being the best player in the world. And now he, you know, now he's kind of past that and he's looking at this next phase and he's more comfortable in kind of just being himself. Whereas Brooke kind of knows that it comes with the territory and she's naturally amazing at golf. She continues to tighten the screws and get better and better. But you know, her personality is always been this big, bubbly, bright, smiling, you know, young girl that has everyone just excited to see her and talk to her. And Mike was a little bit more of that bulldog vibe. You know, he wasn't always like that. And now he is, as he gets ready for turning 50 and playing out on the Champions Tour.
Does it not speak to, you know, where the profile of women's golf, where Mike was kind of the guy in this country and the profile of winning, like, is there a female golf comparable to winning the Masters? I don't think there is, right? I mean, I think that's partly the demand that Mike was under, that he was under a greater spotlight and being just one guy being pulled in all directions that kind of limited him from being that rock star personality where, you know, Brooke's always smiling, but I don't think that there's, like, even as good as she's been, I mean, does she fully get the credit in this country that compared to what Mike got 17 years ago? I don't think so.
Yeah, and I don't think so either, but it's a good point that you make about, you know, winning the Masters. When Mike Weir won the Masters, that was a story that transcended golf and sports, and it became a national news story. And I think he got the Order of Canada. And when you look at Brooke, okay, fine, the LPGA Tour has five majors, and Brooke Henderson has won one of those majors, but that was a story that maybe transcended golf and got into the sports lexicon, but, you know, it didn't quite make national news. An Olympic gold medal would do that. And I think that that's what female golfers have now that maybe the men's golfers don't really care as much about, because at the end of the year, they're playing for, you know, $15 million just in one event with the FedEx Cup. The female golfers just don't have that kind of prize money. They don't have that kind of stage, unfortunately. But you look at the Olympics in terms of global news and global, you know, a global stage, Brooke Henderson winning a gold medal would finally, I think, have her transcend everything and just become a national story. And even though she is the winningest Canadian, male or female, in golf, that Olympic gold medal, I think, is the thing that will really push her over the edge.
Yeah, it gives her global street cred, but for her to win the Canadian Open, I think, will always be as big as it gets here, just simply because of the LPGA Tour. Adam, nice to talk golf. Let's hope one day we can be talking about results on weekends. But until then, thank you for your time. Stay safe as we move forward in this world of ours.
You guys as well. Thanks so much for the time.